This is the John Oakley Show podcast.
He rang the bell and whistled as he waited. And then he said, good morning to you, Jack. But he little knew the sorrow that he brought me when he handed me the letter edged in black.
Wow, that sounds morose, almost, kind of, sort of, but that was a hit for Jim Reeves, I'm told, back in the day, the letter edged in black. And the derivation of that is that back in the day, maybe a century or so removed, people would get condolence letters that would be edged in black. And as soon as you open the thing up and you saw the black edging, it was not going to be a happy ending. It was like, sorry to hear about your granddad. He passed uneventfully 2 days ago in Poughkeepsie. And that kind of, oh, I didn't know. And so that's where it was, a condolence letter. But to that point, now we're living in a time fraught with all kinds of anxiety and depression. There is somebody who's a performance artist at the University of, New York University, who has taken it upon himself in Brooklyn to set up a stand on the street next to a mailbox and effectively write these kinds of letters for people who are bummed out if they're feeling blue. Brandon Wolf is a faculty member at New York University and the performance artist I was alluding to. He's joined us here on the Oakley Show. Brandon, how are you doing? Are you doing your performance art as we speak?
Hi, how are you? Yes. Hello from 4th Street and Prospect Park West in Brooklyn. We're at the mailbox, and I have a crowd with me right now of fellow consoles. So Zoe and Niyati are also here. So just wanted you to know we have a full crowd.
And the people in question, do they need consolation, or I guess consoling would be the word? What is it that they're requiring from you this afternoon?
Well, you know, we're all quite on edge about the impending the impending election tomorrow. So they were coming by for they have a friend who another fellow theater artist who had to leave town during COVID and is trying to figure out how to find her way back. They had heard about the performance project and wanted to come by and send her a note.
Well, this is very nice because you're actively engaged here and you're making contact with people in a time where I guess people are increasingly feeling isolated and alienated. So this is a touch point. A touch point to humanity, Brandon. Do you sense that?
Certainly it has been a crazy month. You know, I tried to frame the performance. I've been out here at the mailbox 3 days a week for the entire month leading up to November 3rd. And part of it, of course, is also selfish in the sense that in this moment of COVID, many of us are feeling a kind of desolation and isolation. And, then, of course, our mailboxes are also feeling quite futile and lonely. So I was walking around my neighborhood and looking at these beautiful blue objects, you know, that aren't getting the love they deserve. And I thought, you know, maybe I should come spend a month sitting with one.
You're sitting on Desolation Row.
I guess so. You know, on the one hand, they've been, you know, our mailboxes have been maligned in the U.S. as these sites of public utility. But also, you know, it occurred to me that they're also, in the midst of this election, you know, sites of great possibility. So they're in a way embody this great site of contradiction. And I thought, you know, what would it mean if we come and activate these spaces as sites of contradiction right now?
Well, they are repositories of hope and a transit point for dreams that may be fulfilled. Brandon Wolf is with us. He's a performance artist and as well, he's a faculty member with New York University, currently out there on the street in Brooklyn, and he's writing letters of condolence. Are they really, would you call them letters of condolence or consoles, I guess is what you call them?
The act of consolation, what interested me about it, I mean, one, my wife is a classicist. She's a Latin teacher, and so she turned me on to this whole genre of consolation letters, right, in ancient Rome. And so I spent a bunch of time in quarantine reading Seneca. And what interested me about that was it's this sort of attempt, however futile, right, to move beyond the stage of mourning, right, the grief that we sit in, right, into something else, however futile that might be, right. So So the idea was there is this tradition of consolation, this attempt to move beyond that loss that we're feeling, and just wanted to sort of open myself up as a kind of console or medium, thinking about the other usage of that word, to intersect with people, to have live encounters in this moment in which live encounters are so precarious. And in a way, the letter is the byproduct of the live encounter that we get to have here in the mailbox.
Well, you know, there have been times where you'd have the one-minute poet would scribble something together based on somebody's personal story. So you get feedback from people. You find out about what it is that is grieving them. And then you put together some kind of prose, I guess, that you would then slip. Tell us how it works and give us a for instance.
You know, I think the idea is slightly different than these one-minute poets, where in a way there's a kind of exchange, right? You are paying them a dollar for a kind of product, right? And in a way, the way I see this is more as it's free. You know, I'm here with paper and stamps and all we need to send these letters, right? And really, the letter that emerges, right, it comes out of this interaction that we get to have together. So I would never... Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening. I'm very, with rapt attention. I'm trying to figure out if you could give us an example, Brandon, of somebody who's come to you and said, you know, I'm bummed out by this, that, and the other, and then you put something together for them.
So I would never presume to know what you want to say. So some people come and they, you know, very old school 1940s, take a letter. You know, other people come and we talk a lot, and then out of that emerges some kind of piece of writing. So, you know, it could be very straightforward. Yesterday, somebody came by and did an improvised dance out of which a sort of dance notation emerged. Today, a woman came by. This is very, very intense and sad, you know, and her aunt had passed during COVID and was left alone, and nobody discovered her aunt's body for months. And she was feeling so distraught by this loss that, you know, they didn't get to sort of have closure, that she wanted to write a letter to her aunt and then was taking the letter down to the cemetery nearby to leave it for her aunt's spirit to discover. You know, so everything from people missing their friends to those consoling loved ones who are going through loss to others who are coming by and want to send a sort of goofy, cheerful note to a friend to others with more metaphysical or spiritual queries. It's been a very wide range.
Now, do you write these longhand, or do you do it, you pound it out on a typewriter or a keypad?
So I have a Royal Quiet Deluxe vintage typewriter from the 1940s here with me at the console, at the consolation booth, and it's been my handy friend this whole month.
I was going to say, you know, it might even be more timely if you had a Smith Corona.
You know, maybe. Maybe. I would love to own a Smith Corona and an Olivetti. So if there are any typewriter collector listeners out there, you know, I would love to expand my collection.
Well, there you are. Just a moment of levity in an otherwise, well, time fraught with all kinds of depression, anxiety, and the rest, but it's being alleviated in one small corner of Brooklyn this afternoon by Brandon Wolfe, faculty member at New York University, performance artist. And I guess, you know, this is something that you might even turn into an audience participation situation going forward. How long you plan to do this, Brandon?
Well, so today's the culminating event of a month of performances. Today's the end of this iteration of the performance. But, you know, I did think yesterday, depending on how long we're waiting for results based on what happens to tomorrow, we should, you know, use it as an opportunity to get theaters all over the country to underwrite artists, theater and performance artists who are out of work, to occupy local mailboxes and continue writing letters to those they care about in these times of anxiety.
All right. Well, if you're waiting on the result, you may still be there well past Christmas. Nonetheless, bundle up.
Getting pretty
Brandon.
Cold.
Yes, it is. I'll let you go, Brandon. I appreciate it. It's always fun to talk to people out there right on the street and with, you know, their finger on the pulse. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
You got a Brandon Wolfe again, a 21st century Scrivener. Crowd of people out in the street in Brooklyn wondering who the deuce he's talking to. You know, the curiosity to me is he's a faculty member at New York University. I just wonder if that's part of the curriculum here. I mean, you sign on for this. However, performance art should be appreciated. You know, street theater and all the rest.
Thanks for listening to the John Oakley Show podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your on-demand audio.
Know any microbiologists? Well, now you do. I'm Jason Tetrow, and I've spent my entire career studying diseases and viruses. On my podcast, The Super Awesome Science Show, we make science simple. This season, we're exploring the science behind pandemics with the help of some of the brightest minds in science today, from vaccines to a potential second wave of COVID-19. Listen for free to The Super Awesome Science Show every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.